Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri. Normally I interview veterans about their civilian career. My goal is to give those on active duty and those thinking about a transition different tools they need to be successful in their civilian career, be it after 5 or 30 years of military service. This is part of a new series I'm calling Skills Episode. So this is Beyond the Uniform episode number 125, but the fourth skills episode. In these episodes, I'm just trying to dive into different skills and things to learn that would help any veteran in their civilian career. And today, we're going to just dive right into talking about understanding how your time in service, the number of years that you serve in the military, affects some common career paths. So I'll start by just explaining a little bit of where this information comes from. I'll talk briefly about why I want to cover that today, and then we'll just dive right into looking at how length of service, of military service, statistically affects what type of career you'll go into. So first of all, I put this information together about a year ago. I used a combination of LinkedIn. I used a third-party service called Mechanical Turk, which is a great company owned by Amazon. They have people around the world who for 2 or 3 cents will do different discrete tasks. So I had them literally go through thousands of LinkedIn profiles and let me know how long someone had served in which branch of the military or which warfare specialty in the military. And then using Excel, crunch the numbers. And as far as I know, no one's ever looked at this before. It's information I would have loved to have had in the military, which is why I took the time to put that together. And so backgrounds on this. First of all, there's 144 different industries on LinkedIn. I boiled this down to 12 different industry categories. It just made it a lot easier for me to analyze the numbers. But obviously it introduces a little bit of bias as I'm kind of taking these 144 categories and creating the subcategories. So I'll put in the show notes a link to a list of the full industries in case you want to look at that and see how I subdivided them. Second thing is that I restricted this to U.S. Navy officers. And the reason I did that is it actually cost a couple thousand dollars to go through this amount of data. To have done that for Air Force and Army and other branches would have been beyond my ability to spend money on this sort of fun research project at this point in my life. If you look at beyondtheuniform.io, I do break down a lot of different information in terms of Army, Air Force, things like that. But my thought is that most people on active duty, they overemphasize what they did in the military in terms of warfare specialty, in terms of rating, of rank. It plays a role if you go into an adjacent industry after your military service that really leverages your particular skill set in the military. But the further you go outside of that adjacent industry, the less it matters. So if you're thinking of going into something like management consulting or finance or startups or technology, more than likely you're going to be bucketed in as a veteran rather than them saying, no, this is an Army or Air Force or a Navy or a Coast Guard person. You're just going to be lump summed into they're a veteran. They served in the military. That's what their background is. And it won't play as key of a role in your hiring as you think it might. The other thing, you know, the other example I always think of is that at business school at Stanford, there was 6 of us who had served in the military in our class of 360 prior to business school. And even some of my best friends at business school, when they would introduce me to someone, they'd be like, oh, this is Justin. He's my Army friend. And I spent 5 years on submarines. It's just in their mind, most people think of the military, they think of the Army, and even people who know me well will still kind of get that mixed up. So although the data we'll go through today is just for the Navy, I think it's a close approximation for other branches of service. And if you want to dive into other branches, check out the data in the ebooks on beyondtheuniform.io. So I'm basically going to walk through one of the ebooks that I put together about 9 months ago on the website. You can download it. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's absolutely free. If you prefer to look through the graphs, if you prefer to really read through this and consume it, you're welcome to do so. But I thought this might be an easier way for some of you to consume these trends on the go as you're driving, running, walking, whatever you're doing right now. It's also a chance for me to scroll down memory lane. I haven't really dug deep into this data in a while, you know, probably 9 months now. I wanted to brush up on it for the reprogramming online seminar that I'm currently running. And I also wanted to start filling in the gaps in the people I've interviewed. So part of my intention in doing this today is I just want to refresh myself on which industries veterans tend to go into and see which ones I haven't interviewed yet so I can start filling in some of those gaps for you. And then the one last thing before we dive in here, I want to give one major caveat, and that is if you're listening and you're a veteran or you're on active duty in the military, know that you can do anything. Don't let these numbers pigeonhole you. Don't let them think that you cannot do something or you're ruled out from doing something. You can do anything you want as part of your civilian career, and that's part of the intention of this podcast. The corollary to that statement, veterans can do anything, is something that's just as important, but no one seems to talk about that. And in my experience interviewing over 125 different veterans and counting, most veterans underestimate this corollary, which is they underestimate what it will take and how long it will take to do anything. So generally, the further you off-road in your career from, you know, maybe not doing government contracting or something defense contracting, the more time it's going to take and the more you need to be willing to take a step back in terms of salary and seniority to make that transition. So for instance, if you're going to be going from the Army into sports photography, as Chris Pestel did in one of my interviews, you know, you need to be willing to take a pretty sizable step back in terms of career salary to make that broad leap across. And so, and you might need to have specialized training or advanced education depending on where you want to go. So what I'm going to go through today, it's just statistical information about these career paths. And my intention is to arm you with that knowledge. Knowledge is power, and you can choose how you want to utilize that knowledge in influencing your own career search and career path. Okay, so with that, I'm going to dive into an analysis of what I found in looking at thousands of different profiles on LinkedIn. And for the sake of this analysis, I'm going to lump all veterans into four categories. I'm going to call the first one short terms. Those are the ones like me, 5 years or less of military service. The next category that we'll delve into is midterms, those who serve for 6 to 8 years of service until they transition to their civilian career. Then the next one I bucketed into what I call careers, which was 9 to 19 years of service. And the fourth and final one is retirees, 20 or more years of service. And so I'm going to start with short terms and some of the things that jumped out to me in the data. So let's start with industries and just quick rundown. The three things we're going to look at is industries and geography. So industry you can think of as terms of like the civilian equivalent of warfare specialty. So for the Navy, submarine, surface warfare. For civilian industries, that's management consulting, finance, healthcare, restaurants, you know, you name it, 144 by LinkedIn. So for those short-termers, officers who served 5 years or less, 20%, you are most likely, if you got out at 5 years, to go into technology. You're 5% more likely than those midterms, but compared to the careers, that 9 to 19 years of service, and the retirees, you're 25% more likely to go into technology than a career, and 77% more likely than someone who does 20 years or more of military service. So that was the first one that jumped out at me, about 20% of people that get out of that five-year point go into technology. The second one was finance. This made sense to me because, you know, about 12% of short-timers go into finance. And it makes sense because that's a pretty big jump for the military, not a whole lot of overlap there. And so it made sense to me that if someone got out earlier, it would afford them more time to transition into that finance career. Or another way of looking at this is they're able to take a step back in salary. They're you know, most likely younger, they have less responsibility, they're able to take that hit that allows them to go further away from a traditional post-military career. 43% more likely than careers, 115% more likely than those who serve for 20 years or more than going into finance. The third most common industry was what I group as other, and this is things like arts and photography and acting, things like that. Other is kind of the catch-all of the more outlandish career in industry rankings on or industry categorizations on LinkedIn. So about 10% of short terms, those with 5 years or less of military service, go into what we would categorize as an other career, and about 94% more likely than those who do 20 years of service. And then the last two didn't really make as much intuitive sense to me, but 6% of these people go into health services. That might be because it requires additional schooling oftentimes. I didn't really know. It didn't make intuitive sense to me on that one. But 20% more likely than those who serve for 6 to 8 years, 30% more likely than that 9 to 19 year category, and a whopping 202% more likely than those who serve for 20 years. And then the last one, real estate and construction, about 5% of short-termers, or 1 in 20 people who serve for 5 years, will go into this industry of real estate and construction, and just barely ahead of midterms, almost neck and neck, a 1% difference between the midterms, but 59 and 46% more likely than those careers and retirees. Now, conversely, if you serve for 5 years of service, the next thing I looked at is, what are you least likely amongst these to go into? You're of all of these different groupings, the short terms, 5 years of lesser service, are least likely of those other groups to go into government and law. And that makes sense to me. If you do have a longer military career, you build up more career capital in the military, you're more able to really leverage that in going into an adjacent industry like government service or law service. And transportation was also low, about 4% of short terms go into that. They're the least likely of all those year groups. And then in terms of geographic location, it did seem that those who serve 5 years or less have a higher percentage probability of ending up outside of what would be typically be considered like a Navy town. So West Coast was most likely, then followed by outside of the U.S. About 2.6% of short terms end up living outside of the U.S. Maybe makes sense. Maybe they're getting out earlier and kind of going off the beaten track out there. But there's a list in the ebook of the top cities. Washington, D.C. was the biggest one, followed by New York and San Diego. But that's the quick rundown on those with 5 years or less of military service. The next one that I looked at is what I'm calling midterms. So those people are the ones, you know, that stick around for a shore tour. They stay in for 6 to 8 years. And, you know, this is the most likely industry of all the groups. They're the most likely to go into what I categorized as business. And I found that surprising. I thought that would have been the highest for short terms. I don't know why that is, but they're about 13% more likely than those short terms to go into business. But then a whopping 28% and 48% for the compared to the midterms and the retirees. Another one that didn't really make a lot of sense to me, but those people who stay in for 6 to 8 years are the most likely to go into manufacturing. About 5% or 1 out of 20 of these people will go into some sort of manufacturing based job. 46% more likely than short terms, 84% more likely than careers, and 139% more likely than retirees. Another group that I categorize as consumer packaged goods, people that are making, you know, Coca-Cola, things like that. And that's where the midterms are most likely compared to others, about 3%. So not a lot go into this, but compared to those other year groupings, they were the most likely. They are the least likely to go into education and research. Only about 4% of these midterms will go into education and research. So for whatever reason, you stay in 6 to 8 years, you're a little bit less likely to go into that. Geographically, of all the groups, they're the most likely to end up on the Northeast and in the Midwest. That was where this group kind of dominated as well. And then the next subset is the careers. And I realize this is a pretty big span here. Now I'm looking at the 9 to 19 year point. And for those of you who are listening who are in that grouping, my apologies, I didn't go in narrower on that. I do have that raw data that if it's helpful, let me know. I can try and crunch those numbers. But I wanted to keep it to just four groupings. And so this one was the biggest time span of all of them. But that was just anecdotally as I thought of friends. It seems like, you know, you had the people who got out right away, the people who got out after a shore tour, and then those who might stay a lot longer, and then those who were the lifers. So those who stay in for 9 to 19 years, of all those groupings of those four, they're the most likely to go into real estate and construction. Now, this is only 3% of careers. It's not like a huge percentage, but compared to the others, they're 37% more likely than those who spend 5 years or less in the military, 36% less. My mistake on that. So they're actually, the careers are the are not more likely than any other group. They don't dominate any industry. They're actually the least likely to go into the real estate and construction industry, about 3%. So they're 37% less likely than short terms, 36% less likely than midterms, and 8% less likely than retirees to end up in real estate and construction. So a slight disadvantage there if that's your intended career path. And geographic location, nothing really stood out on that either. It's across the board. It seems like Navy vets end up in Washington, D.C. For them, it was about 13%, followed by San Diego. And for whatever reason, this grouping is the most likely to end up in San Diego and also the most likely to end up in Chicago. Just 5 and 2% respectively on that, but that was kind of interesting as well. So the careers were a little bit more bland. They didn't really dominate any category. They didn't really stand out as much, which we're going to see is kind of different than with the retirees. For those who stay in for 20 or more years, they do dominate four different industries, where compared to the short terms, the midterms, and the careers, they're much more likely to end up in one of these industries. And the first one is government and law. 36% of those who serve for 20 years or more end up in government and law. And if you've listened to my interview with Cal Newport about So Good They Can't Ignore You, you know this concept of career capital. And it makes sense if you've invested 20 years in building up career capital in the military, you're going to be able to most likely be paid more or have a more senior position if you move into that adjacent space of government and law, where you can really utilize that career capital you've developed. Same thing, transportation, about 15%. Of these retirees, those who serve 20 years or more, and that's largely driven by airlines and aviation. They are 256% more likely than those short terms to do it, 190% more likely than midterms, and just 1% more than careers. So a lot of careers end up in transportation as well. Education research kind of made sense to me as well. About 6% of retirees ended up in education and research. It kind of makes sense. I could see how they could utilize career capital. Maybe that's in the position of teaching or helping out at a school, but that made sense to me intuitively as well. And then the one that was probably the most surprising of all was 4% of retirees end up in what's called the arts. Photography, things like that. And that was more than any other grouping. And I don't know why that is. I'm just picturing like captains and admirals that are, you know, painting pictures and stuff like that after their career transition. More power to them, but they were 17% more likely than short terms, 22% more likely than midterms, and 30% more likely than careers to enter in that arts industry. And in terms of geography, for whatever reason, 63% of these retirees end up in the South. So those who stay in for 20 years or more, that's just where they tend to gravitate. About 22% in Washington, D.C., that was the dominant one for them. About 6% in Norfolk, 440% more likely than the short terms end up in Norfolk, Virginia. And Tampa, 2%, you know, they're really playing up that stereotype about people who are a little bit older going to Florida. Virginia Beach as well, 2%. So they tended to dominate what I would consider more like Navy or military towns. So that is the quick rundown. Not sure if this will be helpful to you, but I just find it interesting to see that, you know, as you're thinking of when you're going to transition, there are advantages to getting out at different points. And like I started, you know, everyone has their own path. You can do whatever you'd like, but hopefully this information is a little bit helpful for you and maybe gives you another lens through which to look at your military service and how to plan ahead on when you're going to transition out. So later on this week, I'll be back with the traditional format of interviewing a veteran about their civilian career. And if you have ideas for other skills you'd like to get me to cover, definitely contact me, justin@beyonduniform.io. Sign up for our email newsletter at beyonduniform.io. If you haven't had a chance to give us a great review on iTunes, I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. And have a great rest of the week.